Okay, well, welcome everyone. My name is Stephen Downs, and I'm online from Moncton, New Brunswick, Canada, and it's a pleasure to welcome you here today. What you're looking at is my desktop screen. It looks like a bit of a mess right now, but it'll clear up in a little bit. Why don't I show you what I look like? So here I am. This is me, this is my office, and since you're from Mexico and Spain and Costa Rica, you might as well see this. That's what it looks like outside my window right now. I hope you enjoy the snow. It's springtime, so it's just about time for the snow to finish off. Now, what I want to talk to you about today is a topic called educational projection, or supporting distributed learning online. And a lot of what I'm doing here on my screen, and you're seeing all kinds of stuff on my screen, is me doing the sorts of things that are needed to do educational projection. I'm just removing my flip cam from the computer, and you might as well see that. So here's my flip cam. This is a nice little device. I use it a lot. And I appear to have broken it. Oh well, never mind. And so what I'm going to do right now is I was just unloading a previous presentation from it. So, and delete video. Yes, video deleted. And now that'll give me all the video space I want. So I have a little tripod here. It's a mini tripod, but it works really well. And what I'm doing is, you see, what's happened is in this environment, this screen sharing environment, it won't let me record my audio or my video. I imagine it's a security service because it's an enterprise type application, but you know, nothing is secret forever on the web. So here I am, and now I'm recording myself. So here's the recorded, the video recorded version of my presentation. And I'm just going to back that off a little bit here so it can view my whole screen. Oops, that was my lunch. So, it's not going to be perfect, but it'll do. I'm going to put this down here, so there I am speaking in the corner. You see how I'm sort of arranging things and organizing things? So here's my presentation, and there must be a way of getting rid of that. There we go, that's better. So I'm just sort of organizing my screen. I've got my audio recording still going in the background. And I'm talking about educational projection. I don't know if I can hide that. I'll put it down there. Okay, great. So, and there we go. And the idea of educational projection is the idea of shifting from what I've called here the old way to shifting to the new way. The old way, in fact, the way we're doing things right now, is everybody comes to you. The old way doesn't just mean everybody comes to you in person. When we've moved to online, the online kind of presentation, we also moved to a type of presentation where everybody comes to you in an online environment, like this environment. This is changing. This is becoming something different. We're moving toward even online learning, which is distributed online, as I've depicted in the new way. And what makes it different is people don't all gather together in one place. And even online events these days are taking part in many different locations. And I'm sort of illustrating that with my screen, with all kinds of stuff happening on my screen. So, the concept Sorry, that might be a bit better. A bit better sound for you there. I'll try to be a little less harsh on my P's. The concept is sometimes known as event amplification. This is a post from someone called Brian Kelly. What can we learn from amplified events? And the idea of amplified events is that the event takes place typically in a venue like a conference hall or something like that, but it could take place online. But also, a video stream of the event is made available. Here's a video stream of one of Brian's events. And not sure how well you heard that. Were you able to hear the crowd noises there? And I'm asking the... oh, it shrinks. The go-to webinar guy. I don't know. Anyhow, the idea here is that you can have a broadcast event as well as an in-person event. They're using a service called Livestream. What Livestream does is it allows you to create your own event. What you want to do is launch a channel, and they'll ask you to give your channel a name, and it gives you a page, and then you launch your free channel, and then you just sign up. I'm doing this live, by the way, just so you know. Because I want you to see how easy this is. And I haven't actually used Live Channel before. I've used a channel called Ustream. Oh, it wants my date of birth. Everybody hide your eyes. I don't know why it wants that. I should lie. I really should lie because I'm very old. And image text for VPLK, and that's someone that gives them permission to sell all my stuff to advertisers. Okay, your live free channel Downs is ready to go live. Let's get started. So let's launch the webcaster, and here's the webcaster. I'm going to allow it to grab my... see if it can grab my camera now. It might not be able to grab my camera because I'm currently broadcasting using the GoToMeeting application, camera in use, right? But you notice by the VU meter here, that tells me that the audio is going out to the world. So this talk that I'm giving you right now is being broadcast on live stream to the world. No, it's not. Here's something I use a lot. And I had it open earlier, but then I closed it. It's just my music player called Winamp, but I've set up my music player to connect to a remote streaming media server called Icecast. It's a lot like Shoutcast, but it's just slightly different, so I'll connect it. And now I am broadcasting live on something called DS106 Radio. Hi, DS106 Radio people. This is Stephen Downs doing a live presentation to people at IT Madrid, an online conference on educational projection. And I'm just describing how I'm projecting this event so that the event itself takes place in many locations at once. And so I was just using live stream, but I shut down that stream because I knew nobody would be listening to it. But there may be people listening to Ustream, listening to Radio DS106. I hate to lose track sometimes. Here's the URL for DS106 Radio. And we have two people listening to this broadcast right now out there in the world. And that's fairly typical of a projected event. You'll have 5 people here, 2 people here, 12 people there, and so on. So, that's... I'm just going to kill this because I don't want to be broadcasting throughout. So that's the Icecast Radio DS-106 broadcast. So coming back to my slide, you see the idea here, right? So the old way, everybody goes to GoToMeeting or whatever. So I'll just put that right in here. Oops. This worked a lot better in theory. Insert text box there. That's the problem. So everybody would go to GoToMeeting. Right. But now, right, here we are. We're in GoToMeeting. So there we are in GoTo. But there might be somebody. Boy, that's really annoying that it pops back like that, isn't it? There might be somebody in DS-106. And there might be somebody in Livestream. Oops. Etc. And the idea is that my event is connected all over the place to different people. There's a site called Event Amplifier. If you're looking for more background and information, etc., have a look at Event Amplifier. And here it is. And it talks about using a variety of different technologies in order to amplify events. So, okay, that's that. Now, how can we amplify this event? Let's think about that. Well, one thing I've already done is I've set up something called a back channel. And you can see this back channel yourself if you go to this web address, downs.ca/thread/744. And here it is, and I'll make it active again. Oops. And it's going to take a second to be active. And this is what it looks like on your screen as well. And I guess I should have said something more creative than test. Hello, Madrid. How about that? Now, what this is, what a back channel is a way for multiple people to have a conversation in the background while the conference is taking place. So here we are, we're having our online conference. You're seeing my video image. Right now you're seeing it through GoToMeeting, but really you could be seeing it through Skype or some other application. And then we're seeing the back channel here, and this is actually located in a very different place. And everybody who's taking part in this conference can enter stuff into the back channel. Now, I don't know if, because I don't know where all of you are and what sort of facility you have, or if you're in a room watching a screen or whatever. They don't tell us very much. I'm just going to check my, that's going fine. I just want to make sure my live video recording's working well. And it is. So I don't know. Oh, there we go. We've got someone said, hello, Stephen. And the back channel is working. So I can actually just even divide my screen here a little bit. And we'll put this up here. And so now, if you say something to me, you just type your name in the, or just type your message in the back channel. And I'll type my reply from time to time. And hit enter. And there's someone else saying hello. So you see it's working. So now I've got my live video working. I've got my back channel working. I've still got my my PowerPoint presentation working. Now if I wanted, hi Antonio, if I wanted, and if I didn't have access to this back channel is some technology that I created myself. It's part of an application called Grasshopper. If I didn't have access to that, I could use Twitter as a back channel. And Twitter, you're probably all familiar with. And the idea here is you just use a tag, say IT Madrid, and you enter a Twitter message and use the IT Madrid ITM11 tag, and then you go to Twitter and you search for that tag, and you see every other message that has used that tag, and that creates a back channel for you. Or here's something really neat, and I ran into this at the previous conference that I presented at MTech, and I'll show this to you. So what this is an iPhone application, or you could also use it on an iPad. And what they've done is they've created this MTech conference iPad application. Now, you could use this for pretty much anything, right? You could use it for a conference, a seminar, a class, a course, a school. Now, it's not free, unfortunately, but for one of these conferences where people pay money, you can get one of these for a month. You pay your $30 or whatever, you have 1 month worth of this, and you've got your conference application. Hi, Robert. So, here we have the home page. Here's a conference Twitter feed. Here's the conference program. Here's information about the conference and more. So I thought, well, that's a really neat idea. I'll make one of my own. So here's one that I made. So that's my application. I don't have very much on it, but here we have some content. And I could go to my website straight off of my application. I'll go back here. So just a few items. It used to have more, but now it doesn't have very many. So mine is pretty simple and straightforward and kind of boring. But it was really easy to make because I simply went into the site called Majubi and I logged in and then I created an app. So here's my app. And this is, now I'm viewing my app. I'll go back to my editing screen here. So here's the editing screen for my app. And you see I can add an RSS feed, a YouTube page, photo album, an about page. And then if I pay them more money, Twitter, Facebook, a custom page of some sort, Google Maps, splash page, contact page, etc. I can add all of this content onto my iPhone app. You see how this is created, right? It's not an app where everything's all in one place together. The app is created out of these resources, Facebook, Twitter, RSS feeds, etc., that are located in different places on the web. All right, so that's back channel. That's just one part of things. So, let's think about this presentation and how I'm amplifying this presentation. Well, one thing I'm going to be doing, I have my slides, which you're seeing on the screen, but you notice there's all kinds of little tiny links and resources and stuff, which you cannot possibly see, really, much less track down. Well, I can take those. I can take my slideshow, and in fact, I do take my slideshow, and yes, I want to leave this page. Bye, Majubi. And post my slideshow onto a site like SlideShare. And as you can see, I've presented all of my presentations on SlideShare. Over the years, I've put 184 different presentations on SlideShare. So if you like this presentation, and you want to follow it up some, here's a whole bunch of slides that you can look at, slideshows that you can look at. And these are presentations that I've given Mexico, Argentina, Colombia, all around the world. So that's just one thing. We'll come back here. As I mentioned, we could be broadcasting it on live audio right now. And the way to do that, the way we do that with DS106 is we use a site called My Auto DJ. It's a pretty ugly website. Sorry about that. But there it is. And basically, this site allows you to create your own streaming audio service. There are different kinds of streaming audio services that you can use, and it'll step you through the different packages. But the main thing is they're pretty cheap. About, you know, I mean, depending on what you want to do, of course. You know, I mean, if you want, you know, hundreds of thousands of listeners, they're not going to be that cheap. But if you're doing something just for a class or an event, again, you can set one of these things up for about, for as little as $10 or $15 a month, and the rates go up from there. But what that does is it gives you live streaming audio. So if you have live streaming audio, then you can open any media player, like Winamp, Windows Media, etc., and you can listen to our iTunes, and you can listen to the live streaming audio. So let's listen to the live streaming audio. So here's the radio station. You see, it's just the URL and the stream. I'll click on it, and I'll be listening. So you're hearing it in the background. It's just the introductory thing, and it ticks a little bit. And we wait for this intro thing, which is way too long to finish. And now we're on live audio, and we're listening to somebody else's broadcast, and he's just broadcasting music. And of course that's not picking up on my Audacity, but it should be picking up on your player. And he's being fancy. Right. So, again, that's a way. So, what we could be doing is broadcasting the audio, broadcasting the back channel, broadcasting the video, all in different places, and then people can pick and choose what part of this presentation that they want to be looking at. Also very important, of course, is we're recording the audio. And you've seen me recording with the Audacity now back and forth for a while. And you might wonder what I do with that. Well, I'll come back here to my web browser. And what I do with it is I go to my web page. I create a page for every single presentation that I do. So here we are, there's about 200 or so presentations. The slideshows that I stored on SlideShare, I make them accessible right in here, right inside the presentation page. But now I also make the audio available. So here's... Right, and so that's a previous presentation that I did. And again, what I've done is I've taken my event and I've taken it out of not just the place that it's located, but the time that it's located. And so somebody can come along later on and have a really nice listen to this presentation. Somebody can come along later on, in fact, and think about what they could do. They could get a group of people together. They fire up this back channel, so everybody's together in a chat area. And then they fire up Skype or something like that. Somebody plays the audio. They all listen to the audio. They all listen to it together. And as the audio plays, they can go through the slides and have a conversation in the back channel. So they can have their own version of the event while participating in that version live. That's a really powerful thing. And it's not simply replaying a recording of the event, but it's actually restaging the event a new time just for yourself. And of course, we're recording the video. I've mentioned a few things already. The flip cam, I've gotten the flip cam running here. I can't really, well, I suppose I can show it to you again. So this is actually recording live video. And I'll post this live video again up on that screen later on. I just got to set this now so that it's okay. And there we go. Or I could create a screencast using Camtasia. Now, Camtasia won't work with this GoToMeeting. The GoToMeeting locks down the video. That's why I'm using the FlipCam. I would have used Camtasia otherwise. And what I can do there is I can record a video of my presentation showing all the slides. So if I don't want people to have to move the slides forward manually, they can get a video of my audio, my video, plus the slides that they can watch at a later date. It makes for a very powerful presentation tool. And then you can do things like upload them, and I'm sure you all know about this, upload them to your video site. So here's my video site, Blip, and I record lots of things on my Blip site. Here's a video I recorded, and what it was somebody else's video, and it was locked down. It was in Facebook, and Facebook didn't want anybody to see it outside of Facebook. They locked it down. So what I did is I took Camtasia, I recorded this video playing on Facebook, and then I saved it and uploaded it to Blip. So now anybody can view that. Here's something else I've done. This is me playing a hockey game. So it's not very loud. Oh, well, that's okay. So this is a hockey game I play at home. Of course, I could be doing this with any software, right? It doesn't have to be Wii Hockey. So that's the start. Now, here's the game as it's in progress. So, that's me. Whoops. Oh, that's not me. That's one of the opponents. And here we go. So, that's me, Pavlikovsky, right there. And we can come down here. We can actually, I got a little video of me actually playing it. It might be a bit hard to find because it was just a short little clip. But the idea here is you can record your activities on other applications. I use the flip cam to record my screen. I've recorded presentations. Here's another screen cam version. Here's something. This is a screencast of a presentation, and etc. This is I took my flip cam, attached it to my bicycle helmet, and made a recording of myself out on the bicycle trail just outside Moncton. So this is the bicycle trail just outside Moncton. Again, what I'm doing here is I'm distributing. The concept here is my content is created everywhere. My presentation is taking place everywhere. The event that I'm doing is taking place everywhere. So instead of things being localized, things are distributed across different events, across different places, different times, different services. And it becomes really a matter of organizing that, arranging that, bringing them together, etc. In online courses, it works the same way. Right now, the way people do online courses is they gather all their stuff together and they post it into a learning management system. And then they locked people down in a learning management system, and the students go step by step through that content, maybe doing some activities, maybe having some carefully managed discussions. But online learning isn't about bringing everybody together and pushing content at them. It's about engaging them, interacting, doing things. That's why I have this screen up here. That's why I have a back channel. So you don't just sit there absorbing what I have to say, but you have at least the opportunity to engage and discuss this with each other. And if it was a larger group, and maybe a more cohesive group, and maybe an environment where you're more used to doing this in the background while you're watching a presentation, you would be having this ongoing chat as I'm doing this presentation. And it would just be normal. That's just what you would do. You would expect that. I, as a facilitator or a presenter, would depend on that and look at that back channel as a way of engaging, interacting, and doing things with you. Oops. Don't do that. Oh, I see. Now, myself and a number of other people have adapted this approach to online learning and created, almost by accident, something called the MOOC, or the Massive Open Online Course. And the idea of a MOOC is that we've sort of formalized the elements involved in having a distributed kind of course. And I break these down into four major steps: aggregate, remix, repurpose, and feed forward. The aggregate part is the part I think that most people know the best. And the aggregate part is where you bring in content from remote sites. The way we do this for the participants in the course is we provide them with a daily newsletter. So I'll just pop into it here. Here's the daily newsletter. This is yesterday's edition. And you see what we've done here. We've aggregated, we've brought together a bunch of readings for them. But not just the stuff that we've brought together. There's one of the previous presentations. Remember I talked about that? I'm using this presentation that I did last year, or 2 years ago, in the course that we're offering this week. But it's not just the resources that we bring together. There are other resources as well. I'm going to go to a slightly older newsletter. So let's go to a newsletter from last week. So here we have a newsletter from last week. I've posted the audio recording from the Wednesday audio session. So there it is. And then the participants all have their own blogs, and they create their own blog posts. So I've listed a bunch of the blog posts from the various participants in the course. These are students, and they're doing their work in their own space, wherever that space may be. This is Blogspot. Where was this? This was WordPress.com. And I think this one's just going to be his own site, isn't it? No, this is also WordPress. And I don't know where these are, right? So I have to look at them to see where they are. And this is just his own site. Looks like a WordPress site, but I can't really tell just quickly. So everybody has their own location, their own blog, their own place where they do things. We also have discussion threads where a person can raise a comment about one of the blogs that he or she has been looking at. So you saw very briefly the newsletter archives. There are many ways to do your own newsletter. I use Grasshopper because it's something I wrote myself, so I can create my own newsletter very easily out of it. But if you don't want or you don't have access to Grasshopper, you can use a service like PHPList. PHPList is software that allows you to create your own mailing list. Or, if you don't like PHPList, then there's a large number of mailing list managers that are available at your disposal. You might think mailing list, old technology. Just based on the discussions I've had with other, content providers online, mailing lists are still really current. And you may read that, students today don't use mailing lists anymore. My impression is that I reach the most people by the mailing list as opposed to by the web or some other means. But, it really depends on your audience, really depends on your topic. If you don't like these, you can use a pre-built group such as is provided by Google Groups. Here are the Google Groups that I belong to. See how I use these groups in order to aggregate content. I can bring in all kinds of information from all kinds of different groups. Here's a connectivism and connective knowledge group. This is a bunch of people in our course have created their own Google group in order to support their activity in the course. Remix. What this means is bringing things together and joining them, mashing them up, combining them. There are many, many ways of doing that. My favorite, honestly, my good old photo editor. I use PaintShop Pro, which is fairly cheap, fairly simple, and I do more mashup things out of PaintShop Pro. Here are some screenshots that I created because I was debugging a problem in my Mujubi app, getting ready for this presentation. So here's my picture that I created for my slides, etc. PaintShop Pro is wonderful, in my mind. Of course, if you don't have access to PaintShop Pro, you might want to use something else. Something that a lot of people use, especially for mashups, but also for content creation, is Google Docs. Google Docs is a suite of applications that allows you to create documents, spreadsheets, etc. This is my Google Docs page, and control how much information is displayed. And here again, this is a bunch of documents, and this is a course outline from a previous course that I did, meeting minutes, which I won't show you. Here's a paper that I authored. Here are some stats. I don't know what that is. Steven Stats, have you let's take a quick look at that, because I'm curious now, because I've forgotten. I'll hide it quickly if it's confidential. We just kept a list of all the students that were in the previous course. So this is all the participation, all of our figures, all available in this online application. And what's neat about this application is it's not just a spreadsheet. It's not just a word processor. It's not just a PowerPoint presentation. Yeah, it's not just a presentation site, but I can share these. I can share these very simply just by sending an email message from this site. And so I can use this in order to share, aggregate, and collaborate with other people. It's a simple little thing, but if you don't think to use it, and if you don't think to use it regularly, then the idea of working together with other people on a document becomes a much more time-consuming and difficult thing to do. It becomes hard to organize, hard to manage. But if you have a site like this, an online service where you say, all the students in the class, come join, let's work on this document, or all the people in our work team, let's come work together on this document. It's this mindset that people can be in these different places and even be working with their own version of Google Docs in order to share in the creation of this document. And then you'll take that Google Docs document and load it somewhere else, save it somewhere else. What else have we got? For something completely different, and I mean really, really completely different, Yahoo Pipes. Yahoo Pipes is a strange, strange kind of thing. What it does is it takes the RSS feeds that were created by different applications, brings them together and creates a new RSS feed out of them. It's I was just looking for something quick, but I'm not going to be able to find one, I don't think. Oh, I'm not even logged in, so... Documentation... I was just looking for something quick, but... Pipes... Yahoo Pipes demo, there we go. So, yeah, here's a typical little pipe. So, it'll play this video here in a second. I've got so much going on, my bandwidth is a bit slow at the moment. So I'm just going to pull into the middle here. See, here's a typical example of this pipe in action. All right, so it's fetching a URL, and then it's translating the URL, and then it's going to take the output of that translation. You see, it's fetched from one place. It translates it in Babelfish, and then it's going to show you the output. And let's go a bit further here. So here's the output, the feed to English. So, the idea here is that using an application like Yahoo Pipes, you can combine content from different sources and manipulate that content. And that's a type of activity that you should be thinking about just in general, even if you don't have an application doing it for you. Being able to combine these different things and manipulate these different things is a kind of skill, and it's definitely a skill that is useful in this new distributed learning environment. And it's very important, because when things are distributed like that, the capacity to bring them together and create something new out of them is really important. Painting by... Right. If you want more, much, much more on combining things, this site here and this site here could take you the rest of the year to analyze. There are all kinds of examples, APIs, which are the programming interfaces that are used to make these, samples, and I saw one. So, and you can go in, you can look at all of these different examples of mashups that have been created by people. Here's a neat little thing. It's called OutLoud. It brings in Twitter posts and sends them into one of those applications that reads things out loud. So you can sit there in your car or wherever, and this application will read Twitter posts out loud to you. That's a little thing, but it's neat. Okay. The next thing is repurposing. Once you've brought things together, once you've joined them together, what's really important is to make something of your own. And this is true in your own learning. It's also true for schools, for students, for workplace learning generally. There are places where you can create your own thing. I've mentioned a few. Blogger, WordPress. Delicious is a place where you can store feeds. But what's the really interesting applications are the ones that are actually the ones that actually enable you to do some editing online. Picnic, for example, is an online drawing site, an online photo editing site. So get started now. So let's get started now. Free. And it loads. Takes a few seconds to load. Now we upload a photo. So we'll see if we can't find a photo. I hope there's nothing too secret in here. Nothing like showing your file structures to a live online audience. Let's see here. La-di-da-di-da. Photos. Okay, let's pick a photo at random. Here's a photo at random. Now I'm editing this, and it went that fast, right? I'm editing this photo online in Picnic. So this is stuff I'm doing to it online. So I could crop it. Maybe I don't want to do that. So I'll just cancel out of that. I can sharpen it. Okay, that's pretty good. What do I want to do? I can, a teeth whiten? No, I don't think so. Let's add some text to it. And let's add that text. I've added the text. You see what I've done, right? I've created a lolcat out of a boat picture. And let's give it some color. Good, we like that. I can make that bigger even. Let's just tilt this a little bit. And good. So we like that. And add a little more text because it's fun. And I want that bigger, don't I? How do I make that bigger? I'll just drag this, and there we go. Make that a color. And now let's share it. Where do I want to share it? Well, I should be able to share it on Blogger or Flickr or someplace. Facebook. See all these different places I can share it. Why can't I share it to Blogger? Well, that's no good. Oh, well, I'll share it to Flickr. So I'll connect with my Flickr account. And what this is doing here, what you just saw was an example of OAuth. And what OAuth is a way for one site to connect with another site. And what happens is Picnic never sees my user ID and password. What it does is it pops open a Flickr window, and it allows me to log in at Flickr. And it knows that, like, my Flickr account knows that I allow Picnic to access some parts of my account. For example, my list of photos or sets of photos or things like that. So let me go into Flickr now. So this is my Flickr account. And this is from my recent uploads. Oh. Where's my boat? I can't find my boat. Maybe it didn't share? Oh, it didn't share yet. Sorry. So let's... lolcat boat. Okay, so let's save that and make it public. Alright, so now it's saving my lolcat boat to Flickr. So it's going to take a few seconds because it's like... I don't know, a 3 megabyte picture. I don't know how big it is. We'll come back to that here in a second. Alright, so it should have loaded by now. And there's my boat. This is my boat in Flickr. And now I want to share this on my blog. So, where does it... Where is it gone? Share this photo. Blog it. Loading my blogs. It already knows. So this is a demo. It did for what's the name of this conference? IT Madrid. Sorry about that, conference organizers. So I posted my blog entry, and let's visit my blog. And here's my blog just for artwork, and here's my lolcat boat that I'm sharing on my blog, and that's how you use mashups. So, all of that from Picnic, right? I can use YouTube. Here's this YouTube editor is incredibly ridiculous because all you have to do here is you upload some videos into YouTube, and then we'll pop into the YouTube editor. These are my previously uploaded videos. I can take my uploaded video, and Okay, so we like that. So let's edit my video because I don't want all of it. So see, I'll take that much of it. And then I take part of this video and I combine them. I can add my own musical track here if I want and do my transition. So we'll crossfade or do a star wipe. Right, isn't that, you gotta love star wipes. So, and now I've created my own custom video. So, let's see how that goes. Here's my own custom video that I made out of Google's video editor. Oops, that's a bit further. That's a bit closer. You see how I made a video the same way I made this presentation, just by combining things. And there's my star wipe, and into my other video. And that's Google's video editor. Slide Rocket is a place where you can make slideshows. Gliffy is a place where you can make flow charts and other diagrams. And if you don't like using Google Docs for all of this stuff, you don't want to be affiliated with the Goog, here's Zoho. Zoho has a whole set of chat docs, projects, books, challenge, recruit, reports, notebooks, spreadsheet, etc. Feed forward is where you send it on, and you've already seen already the way I can send things on. I can upload things in Flickr. I can feed forward into Second Life. I can actually project a video into a 3D environment like Second Life. I can upload content to Yahoo groups or Google groups. I can save to Facebook. But just remember, if you save to Facebook, content goes in, never comes out. Anything else. There are plenty of other MOOCs out there, besides the ones that I've been working on. Digital storytelling is one definitely worth exploring. They do a lot of this kind of stuff in digital storytelling. A lot of mixing of different kinds of media. Critical Literacies is a course that I offered recently, and it looks at the underlying skills that are involved in doing this sort of work. Skills in recognizing patterns, skills in localizing and finding meaning in things, skills in understanding how to do things with words, with pictures, with artifacts, etc. Plank is a course that George Siemens, I, Rita Kopp, and Dave Cormier did on personal learning environments. Learning Analytics was a course that George Siemens did recently. Personal Learning Environment 12 is a course being done by Wendy Drexler and Chris Sessoms. ECNI is an online course being done out of Wikispaces by Alec Koros. And Alan Levine, who works with the New Media Consortium, has done an online course or an online seminar in this way. He calls it Not Your Grandma's MOOC, which is kind of funny because the concept of a MOOC is about 3 years old. How do you keep up? How do you follow all this? Again, think of yourself as having resources and services distributed across the internet. Create your own network of these resources and connect to other people's. The idea here is you are able to get connected and begin to get new sources of information by sharing your own kind of information. If you create your own online presence and then you project that presence into other environments, you go post on somebody else's blog, for example, or you take part in somebody else's event, then what you share gets noticed by other people, and what other people share gets noticed by you. Stay connected. Use Google Calendar to schedule events. If you share your Google Calendar, people can subscribe to the calendar and will always know when you're offering a new event or seminar. Share your links in Delicious. Create photo pools, etc. I could go on for hours. I have gone on for hours. Just about how to share. Finally, just to wrap up the presentation, You've probably been hearing recently, because it's becoming more of a fad, the concept of content curation. And in one sense, curation is at the heart of a lot of this. It's the idea of bringing together the best resources that are out there on the web, the best resources for a specific purpose. You notice the way I brought together resources today that were specifically oriented toward maintaining your own distributed presence online in support of learning. Curating can be labor-intensive. It's not necessarily labor-intensive, but it can be. And the hard part is, you know, finding what resources are useful, finding what resources will be helpful in this specific application. The reason why I don't like curation as a term is because I think it's about much more than just selecting and organizing materials. I really think that there is an aspect of creation that has to come into play here, that you're doing more than just organizing what other people have done, but you are also bringing yourself, adding yourself into this mix. And that's a fundamental role, I think, for teachers in this distributed kind of environment. The idea here is you're not simply bringing things together and presenting them to students. You're bringing things together, but you're adding yourself to this mix. And then you're sharing that with students. And you're asking your students to add themselves to the mix of what they're doing. I think that's really important, not just to shuffle paper around, but to actually be doing something, to be building something. So I see it's about time here. My hour is basically done. So I'd like to thank you for your time and for your comments in the back channel, and see if there's any comments or questions at this time. Oh, I have unread chat messages. Oh, it's somebody telling me time. Okay. And I'm just waiting for the moderator to... there we go. Moderator has spoken. Yes, I do. I'm sorry, I don't see where that question is. Could you repeat it? How to promote the skills required by the new facilitators of this kind of learning. That's a hard one. My experience is that especially something that's complex, and you've seen what I did in the course of this presentation, it's fairly complex, and you almost have to be, you know, like a conductor orchestrating all the different applications. And with something that's complex like that, it's really hard to just sort of sit down and tell people this is how you do it. Because, you know, you get a few paragraphs into your answer and their eyes glaze over. It's much more important to show. It's much more important to let them see how you do it. To let them see how you solve problems in this environment. To let them see how you find things. That's why when I do a presentation like this, I like to do things that I haven't prepared ahead of time. Like, for example, the video streaming, I've forgotten what it's called already, that I signed up for. I didn't plan on signing up for that video streaming service. I just did, and then what I wanted you to see was how I reacted, how I approached this online service. So that's the first thing. You need to have people see you actually doing the work. And then the second thing is you want to give people a chance to do the work themselves. Not everything all at once, because it'll overwhelm them. But bit by bit, one thing, then another. And you see in this presentation, what I've tried to do is give people at least a chance to have a taste of it with the back channel area. And I know people didn't really use the back channel a whole lot, but that's okay. It's not a requirement. What was important in my using the back channel is that people could try typing in something for themselves and seeing it show up on the screen. A simple thing. They don't need to have the whole psychology and philosophy of back channels. They just need to type a short message into the screen and see it pop up. And that little participation grows over time. You know, people do something, they get some success. They do something, they get some success. That was the beauty of web programming originally. People could do things, very simple things, and get some success. They could create a little bit of text and save it and view it in their web browser and see great big text. And that's success. And that's the only way to enter into this kind of complex environment. Try something out, get a little success. Try something more out, get a little success. Try something out, get a little failure. Fix it, get a little success. So it's the two things, right? When people ask me, what is your pedagogy? I say, well, the instructor, the role of the instructor is to model and demonstrate, to show people what can be done. And then the role of the student is to practice and reflect. To try things out a little bit, see if it worked, think about it. Try something else, see if it worked, think about it. And, you know, the only way to learn, and we know this, you were paying attention to me, the only way to learn is to be doing these things over and over and over and over. It really is, you know, academic exercise really is like sports exercise. And it's the repeated practice that allows you to create more and more complex behaviors. So that's how I would answer that question. Are there more? Sure. Great. That sounds great. Thank you. Bye-bye.